listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. And you could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. What a crappy weekend that was. I know we had football yesterday. We had football on Saturday. And there are some people that are going to be buzzing about college football and also the NFL. But man, being a Mets fan can be miserable at times. And I was at the game on Saturday. So was Hot Take Hickey. And they find a way to get a victory. Offense finally came alive. And then last night, there is nothing worse than in baseball. Because in football, if your team just gets blown out, it's easier to accept. But in baseball, when you have no clue how long the game's going to go, but when you get down 2-0 and your offense is feeble and the bats are just anemic and you have to sit there and just see the suffering over and over and over again, that sucked. And last night, I had a miserable moment as a sports fan. I did a quick instant reaction video, let's be real, in the bottom of the 9th inning because I knew the Mets weren't coming back. The moment that game was officially over, I pressed send. And then I sat on my couch for about an hour, didn't move. The only time I did move was to go to 7-Eleven because the ice cream store that I wanted was not open. So that sucked. So not only did my team lose, I went 0-3 on my picks this weekend. And then the ice cream store isn't even open. So I had to then walk to 7-Eleven, and I was like a fat kid, get my Reese's peanut butter cups, got my Chipwich. I also got one other thing, Dunkaroos. And I went back to my couch, quickly devoured that, and didn't move for another 3 hours. You know, the game was awesome on Saturday. And my voice is a little off today because I was screaming, going nuts, out in the cold, all that. And then I talked on the air for 8 hours yesterday. But I didn't go to bed last night until 3:30 in the damn morning. And I got into bed probably at like 1 a.m., but I just could not go to sleep because everyone's been there when your team loses in the playoffs. And shame on me for being a sucker and believing in this Mets team, because I've been tortured before. The Mets have ripped my heart out before, and I had so many years of previous data to just suggest in previous feelings that eventually the Mets are going to rip my heart out. But this year felt different because this was the most wins I've ever seen for the Mets in the regular season. And what did it result in? Some Fugazi appearance in the wild card round. They didn't even get to the NLDS. Team won 101 games in the regular season. Didn't even get to the NLDS. And I couldn't go to bed last night till 3:30 in the morning. Because it was just pain over and over and over again. Scherzer not showing up. When did Max Scherzer start to pitch like that? But geez, brutal. Bassett before the game. Oh, you know, it's so tough to pitch in New York with the fans. Show up. Have a pulse. Have some life. Those Mets bats, horrible. Musgrove had one hit in an elimination game. But shame on me. Because I love my Mets. I'll always love my Mets. But how many years do I watch that team and they just abuse your confidence? And this year it felt different because you had 101 wins. And people could tell me about not taking one from Chicago. That season turned right in Atlanta. Once again, you have DeGrom, Scherzer, Bassett in Atlanta. I wasn't asking for the stars. I'm asking for one win and they control their own destiny. They couldn't even get a win with Scherzer, DeGrom, Bassett. And then you get into this NL wild card. Scherzer stinks up the joint. Looks like Tom Glavine in 07. And then DeGrom pitched fine. Bats came alive. Pete. And then also Lindor. So they suck you back in and you think you get a win last night. And I'm doing Eye on Football. Final hour, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern. Game starts at 7. And towards the last segment of Eye on Football, I see the two runs going, and I go, oh, that's it, game over, good night. But that Mets team throughout the entire year, they felt different. They survived the injuries to Scherzer and DeGrom. This was a team that had an all-time great season from Edwin Diaz. Who would have thought I would have ever had confidence in Edwin Diaz with how bad he was in New York? Alonso, great year. Lindor, great year. This felt like a different year. And then September comes around, choke, playoffs, at least they somewhat made it. And then they can't find a way to beat the Padres and the Mets season is over. You got the Braves in the NLDS. You got the Phillies in the NLDS. Phillies just throw salt into the wound. And now here I am sitting back in New York City, just a miserable SOB. I would just love to see the Mets win a World Series in my lifetime. And in 2015, they came close. They came really damn close out of nowhere. You win the NL East. You take care of the Dodgers. You win a great Game 5. You then go to Chicago. You play the Cubs 4 games. You sweep them. And then the World Series, you blow Game 1. Game number 3, you get a win. Game 4, Daniel Murphy forgets how to play defense. And then I was at that Game 5. Chanting, we want Harvey. We want Harvey. And the Mets end up losing in extra innings. I would just like one year before I die for the Mets to win a championship. I'm only 28. Hopefully I have a lot of life left in me. But I don't know more how much more I could take of this crap. Because after all the signs I've seen in 07, being up 7 with 17 to play. Oh, wait, another choke job. Even last year, leading most of the way in the NL East, then not getting the job done. But this year was different. They had 101 wins. 101! And what did it get them? Jack, you know what? You know, this wasn't even on the rundown. I wasn't even planning to talk about the Mets to start the show. But this is just my pure emotions right now. This is raw emotion. I knew the moment when that microphone was going to go on, I couldn't help myself. I'd have to rant and rave about my Mets because this sucks. By the way, producing the extravaganza today is no other than Hot Take Kiki.
Hot Take Kiki.
Come on, don't we have other drops for it today? Can you cheer me up something? Other than just the generic Hot Take Hickey stuff, give me like Leroy Hort or something. I got to laugh right now. I'm miserable. I need a lifeline here, Hot Take Hickey. Come on.
His dumb producer, Hot Take Hickey.
And Hickey, I'm not even going to go after you today. Because I know I said they were going to win the series. I thought they would win so in 3 games. You said it was going to be easy. They were going to sweep the Padres, but whatever. You were there on Saturday. We were bonding over our Mets. But we thought this was going to be good. You know, tough times. Build tough people. And Friday they lose. Saturday they win. Okay, they're going to win Sunday. I couldn't sleep last night, Ryan. This is miserable. This is awful. This is terrible. And they did it to us again. These Mets were supposed to be different. That's what the slogan, these Mets. And there's different ways to say it. It's like, oh, these Mets. And then it's these Mets. This was supposed to be these Mets. And they ended up being, ugh, these Mets. Hickey, this sucks. This sucks.
Only the Mets could find a way to make the best regular season we've ever seen disappear and feel pointless, worthless, in the span of two nights. Just like that.
It's more than two nights.
Just like that.
It started last week. Atlanta.
That's really started last month.
Well, we could say that, and I get it. People go, oh, you get swept by the Cubs. Still, you go into that final series up against Atlanta. And I know there was three more games after that, but the last time you'll face Atlanta, final, what, six games of the year? And you controlled your own destiny. If all you did was just take one stinking game, not two, not three, one stinking game against Atlanta. That's all they had to do. One game against Atlanta, they're in the driver's seat. And they couldn't take one game. With DeGrom, Scherzer, and Bassett. All right. I think I got that out of my system. Any other words on the New York Mets? I think we should make a rule today, Ryan. We will not bring up the Mets again until the closing bell because you know the Mets are getting a stock down. I think for the betterment of our radio program, we do not talk about the Mets again until 9:40 because I got a lot of things to do today. We got to talk about the NFL, another football Sunday, craziness. We have a coach now fired, Matt Rhule, out with the Carolina Panthers. I'll give you my opinion on that. We had a big weekend of college football. I think we need to make a rule here for the rest of the show, Hot Take Hickey, that we don't talk about the Mets again until 9:40 p.m. Eastern.
If we never talk about it again, I'd be happy. But yes, bare minimum 9:40. I am A-okay with that.
So do me a favor. We need checks and balances here. Let's just say if I come back from break and I go, oh, I can't believe about the Mets, I need you to go like, Zach, you won't talk about the Mets. Can you help me out there?
You got it. I will change my voice to make it sound deeper and just make sure that we are back on track.
So let's try this here. 6:12 p.m. Eastern here on the Zach Yelp Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Man, those New York Mets really suck.
Zach, get back on track, please.
What was that, a steamboat? What the heck was that?
That was showering to get your attention. It got your attention, didn't it?
It did, and it got me off speaking about these Mets.
These blank.
Yeah, these
bleep.
Bleepity, 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 bleepity Mets.
The team who shall not be named.
You know what? That's a good way to approach it. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. We'll reset. When we return, I got to give major praise to the NFC East. Eagles undefeated. Giants and Cowboys both 4-1. And then you have these Commanders. And Ron Rivera continues to make a buffoon out of himself. And I usually like Ron Rivera. But what the heck is he talking about? And why is he saying the things that he's saying? It almost appears like he's trying to get fired. Coming on back after these short.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations. Coverage of your favorite teams. Live news from your hometown. And millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news. And add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports. Interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me. I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. A presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio on this marvelous Monday. You could think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I didn't think we would ever be praising the NFC East this much this season, but 5 weeks through the year, three teams are deserving of an enormous amount of praise. Before the year, the feeling on the NFC East, and I felt this way really ever since the draft, that the Eagles were going to win the division. And then since the NFC isn't that strong, yeah, I'll give the Cowboys the benefit of the doubt because of their construction of their roster. First off, let's start the praise with the Cowboys, even though they're not the biggest surprise in the NFC East. But this Cowboys team was dead, was done, was finished after the first week of the season. And it's very tough for everyone, even in our reactionary society, to write a team off that has that much talent after 1 week. But when we look to the Cowboys, who weren't even expected to beat Tampa Bay, but they lose that game, I think it was like 19-3. The offense had no life. Dak gets hurt. And you find out that Dak is going to be out probably for what we thought at the time was 6 to 8 weeks. There was never a thought that Cooper Rush could weather the storm. And we knew that the Cowboys had a very good defense, but the running backs inconsistent, Zeke no longer great, Tony Pollard solid, offensive line not as great as it once was for the Dallas Cowboys. And yes, CeeDee Lamb's a very good player. You're eventually going to get Michael Gallup back, but after losing Amari Cooper, to then lose your quarterback for what we thought was going to be 6 to 8 weeks, and who knows when Dak is going to come back, because it's not looking likely that he's going to play up against the Eagles. But I would have never thought that the Dallas Cowboys would have won 4 games in a row without Dak Prescott. Cooper Rush as a quarterback, going back to last year, is 5-0 as a starter. 4-0 this year, and the one loss that Cooper Rush is, the one loss the Cowboys have had this year was when Dak was the quarterback. And they beat the Bengals, who have been struggling, but were in the Super Bowl last year. They beat the Giants, who were one of the surprises, who were at 4-1. They took care of the Commanders. And then yesterday was probably their most impressive performance, because if the Cowboys would have lost to the Rams, no one's killing them after Cooper Rush has been a starting quarterback where they won 3 games in a row. But to go up against a reeling LA team, and you go up against the Rams, who were desperate, needed a win. And not only did you win the game, you dominated the game. You dictated the terms of that game. It shows you that the Cowboys maybe are better than what we thought. But this Cowboys defense, which was really damn good last year, is even better this year. Because they're doing all this with the unknown on the offensive side of the ball. Now, the Rams have problems. You have one returning starter on the offensive line from a year ago. Matthew Stafford, I don't know if this is from the elbow injury and how much that's factoring into it, but he's not looking like a great quarterback. You could pump the brakes big time on Matthew Stafford going to the Hall of Fame. Allen Robinson has done nothing. And this Rams offense, like when we talk about the Cardinals, what do we say about the Cardinals? The Cardinals offense is all who? Kyler Murray. The Rams offense is all Cooper Kupp, and that's it. So let Cooper Kupp get his yards. Let Cooper Kupp go get a 75-yard touchdown the Cowboys allowed. But if that's your only source of offense, you got nothing else. So if you just allow him to get his yards, one wide receiver is not going to beat you. So that Cowboys performance yesterday was damn impressive, and I know it was a road game, but those Cowboys fans took over SoFi Stadium. And also, I think we got to be fair here. A lot of people, including yours truly, automatically assumed Mike McCarthy was going to be out at the end of the year and Sean Payton would be in. To be fair to Mike McCarthy, through the first 5 weeks of the season, that is a coach that should not be fired at the end of the year. Now, don't get me wrong. I am a realist with the Cowboys. Eventually, Dak's going to get back, and it seems like it's sooner rather than later, even though he's not expected to play this week early on up against the Eagles, but maybe after that. If you do have this Cowboys team go one and done again in the playoffs, this could be a different tune, and Jerry Jones may pull the trigger and say goodbye to Mike McCarthy. But Mike McCarthy, Ryan, he's got to be given a lot of praise and a lot of words of extolment, because a lot of people, when he got hired by Dallas, oh, the game has passed him by. Oh, he's a bumbling idiot now. Oh, look how it ended in Green Bay. He ruined that relationship with Aaron Rodgers. Mike McCarthy, at one point last year, had the Cowboys looking like a Super Bowl contender. Now, they lost to the 49ers in embarrassing and pathetic fashion. And this year, you lose your quarterback after losing the first game of the season? I would have never thought in a million years that they would have been able to pull together back-to-back-to-back-to-back victories with Cooper Rush, who is managing the game. They're getting enough out of the 1-2 punch with Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott. But more importantly, this defense, led by Micah Parsons, who had 2 sacks yesterday, Trayvon Diggs, who's one of the better younger defensive players in this league, this defense is just dominant right now. And this is an NFC that is not strong. Like, you look at the teams of the NFC that thought were going to be strong, Rams struggling. They're 2-3. Packers, they just lost to the Giants. And the Giants are 4-1. But the Packers are struggling at 3-2. Tampa Bay, struggling at 3-2. They just had to pull one out up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So this is a... Tampa Bay just had to pull one out up against the Atlanta Falcons. So this is a scenario now where the NFC, it's open. And you look at the NFC East, this was the dark horse surprise in that not only did the Eagles, because I thought they'd win the NFC East, but the Eagles now are looking great at 5-0 and had to win a close one the other day up against the Cardinals, which can only help you. But they won the game. Cowboys, they're 4-1. Who would have thought in a million years the Giants, the biggest surprise of all of them in the NFC East, would be 4-1? And I thought for sure, and I was dead wrong about this, I laid the 8 points yesterday. And when it was 17-3, I thought I was good. When it was 20-10 at halftime, I thought I was good. Right? There's no way that the Giants were going to come on back. And not only did the Giants come on back, they dominated the Packers in the second half. If it wasn't for an intentional safety that the Giants took, the Packers would not have scored in the second half. So this NFC East, through the first 5 weeks of the season, Ryan, and I can't think of anything else that tops it. Nothing. Through the first 5 weeks of the season, how good the NFC East has been. It's been remarkable that between the Eagles, Cowboys, and Giants, you only have 2 losses in a division that has got clowned recently being called the NFC East.
And it's even more impressive when 95% of the league, for the most part this year, has been up and down and has looked, you know, or has played really under expectations. Like we talked last week, the Bills and the Chiefs and the Eagles, really the only 3 teams coming into this week that actually played really well and either matched or exceeded expectations coming this year. Everyone else has played down. And now you look, after 5 weeks, really the three of the most competitive and consistent teams are the 3 teams you just laid out, and the Giants, the Eagles, and the Cowboys. It's incredible.
Most divisions, the teams are just filled with 3-2 teams, 2-3 teams right now. That's just been the way of this NFL season. Like, you look at the AFCs, Bills 4-1, Jets and Dolphins 3-2, Pats 2-3. AFC North, you have the Ravens at 3-2, Browns and Bengals 2-3, Steelers 1-4. Even the AFC South, that's been dreadful. Tennessee 3-2, Colts 2-2, Jacksonville 2-3, Texans 1-3-1. Kansas City's 3-1, they play tonight. Chargers 3-2, Broncos 2-3, Raiders 1-3. Like that, we just went through the whole AFC. And remember how great this AFC West was supposed to be? You would have never thought in a million years I'd be able to say this sentence on national radio. Through the first 5 weeks of the season, we haven't even seen the Raiders go up against the Chiefs tonight. The NFC East is the best division in football. Better than the AFC West. And you look inside the NFC, Vikings are 4-1. They don't feel like a strong 4-1 team, though. You know, the Eagles, who are 5-0, but you look at the other 4-1 teams in that division right now, Cowboys feel strong in the Vikings, and the Giants feel a little bit strong in the Vikings. And the Vikings have a tremendous offense. But defensively, it's like once they get a lead, man, the offense then shuts down, and defensively they don't make enough plays. Packers 3-2, Bears 2-3, Bucks, Saints, Falcons, Bucks are 3-2, but the other two teams are 2-3. Like, and the NFC West is filled with three teams with 2-3, and the 49ers who are 3-2 were like dead 2 weeks ago. So the most consistent part through the first five weeks of the season is the NFC East. And the one team that's the outlier, the one team that is the redheaded stepchild, the Washington Commanders. And can I say I'm surprised? No. And Ron Rivera is really starting to lose me. We'll play his audio later on in the show. He threw Carson Wentz underneath the bus. But Ron, you were the guy that picked Carson Wentz. When everyone in America looked around and said, why are you giving up two threes? One of those threes could turn into a two on a condition if Wentz plays 70% of the snaps this year. And then you swap second-round picks. You get the lesser second-round pick. You waited all this time. You said you want to build the roster, then go get your quarterback. And you pick Carson Wentz? The guy stinks. And got what you deserved yesterday in a game that you should have won up against Tennessee, where the ball is down at the goal line. You're first and goal at the two after a penalty. Wentz tried to throw the ball out of bounds. Almost got intercepted. Next down. Almost got intercepted again. And then finally, after forcing another football in there, intercepted. So Carson Wentz is not a good quarterback. And for Ron Rivera to tell me, oh, but he shows some signs. Yeah. Wentz has a throw or two a game when you go, oh, wow, that looks like the old Carson Wentz. But at the end of the game, you have a ton of turnovers, a ton of sloppy play, and when the moment gets the brightest and the light is shining down on Carson Wentz, he gets exposed. And he comes up as a total fraud. So I got to give credit to those three NFC East teams. Eagles 5-0. That was a heck of a victory yesterday up against the Cardinals because they won in a different way. They got out to that big start. Then the Cardinals looked like they were about to take the game back. I know you had the crazy missed field goal at the end. But to win a game like that after having some blowout victories, you got to win a little bit differently. Cowboys going to L.A. Extremely impressive. Four wins in a row without Dak Prescott. And then the New York Football Giants, maybe the most impressive of them all because they have the least talent. This is a roster that is in a rebuilding mode with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. And five games in, you know this and I know this, the Giants right now are showing that they're starting to move in the right direction. And you just wonder when that team actually gets talent. But that Brian Daboll has brought a good culture to New York. And man, he's starting to impress. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we react to Matt Rhule getting fired by the Carolina Panthers. And we take a look at some of the other coaches that may be handed their walking papers next.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me, I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. As you know by now, we've had our first firing in the NFL season from an NFL head coach, as Matt Rhule is out with the Carolina Panthers after two-plus seasons. Year number one, they did go 5-11. Last year, and this could be the craziest thing of it all, last year the Panthers, if you remember, started 3-0. They had two wins the rest of the year. And then this year they get off to a 1-4 start. And headed into this year with Carolina, not that I was confident with the Panthers, but I thought the Panthers, if everything went right, if they hit their apex, McCaffrey playing like a comeback player of the year, Baker Mayfield showing more like he was the Baker in 2020 than 2021, I thought at best this team could be an 8 or 9 win team. And before the season started, I picked them to win 7 games. You look, though, at the early part of that schedule. Cleveland, without Deshaun Watson. The Giants, we didn't know the Giants were going to be 4-1. Saints, division game. You had to find a way to win 2 out of those 3. When you lose to Jacoby Brissett and Daniel Jones, the odds of you being able to keep your job, not good. And that got off to a miserable start. Bare minimum, they needed to split between Cleveland and the Giants. But when you get off to an 0-2 start, you knew eventually it was going to come all crashing down very quickly in Carolina. Sure, they get a victory up against the Saints. But whatever, at that point, it's 1-2. And you could have been 2-1 if they could have finished up against Cleveland, if they could have finished up against the Giants. You know, probably you should have been 2-1. No surprise against the Arizona Cardinals, the team that they've beat the 2 previous years, that the Arizona Cardinals are going to win that game because offensively, that team's just brutal. And I know yesterday they got carved up, but that's not a bad defense in Carolina. 49ers is a much better team. It's not surprising they lost 37-15. That Cardinals game, though, if you were trying to save your job, you got to win that game. Because if you would have rebounded and got to 2-2, at least you could have spun it into some optimism. But that Cardinals game, Arizona gave the Panthers every opportunity. That first half, remember, Carolina's up 10-3 at halftime. And Kyler Murray was missed a 3-and-out in that game. But the only way Carolina was able to get on the board was through a defensive touchdown. And I said it on that Sunday when I was watching the game on October 2nd. The moment they went to half only up 10-3, Fat Lady singing, good night, the party's over. So Matt Rule out after 2-plus seasons with the Carolina Panthers. Steve Wilkes is going to be the interim head coach. Phil Snow and also Ed Foley also out on the Panther staff. And, hey, it's no secret. I know Matt Rule very well. I'm a Temple University graduate. When I was a student, he was the football coach there, and we have had a very good relationship, still have a very good relationship. I saw him turn around that Temple program that was basically on life support. I saw him go to Baylor, take over after the Art Briles situation. Team's 1 win. They then improve. The year after that, they're in a Sugar Bowl. And a lot of people don't know this. When the Colts got left at the altar by Josh McDaniels, Jim Irsay had a conversation with Matt Rule, and he was very interested in bringing in Matt Rule from my knowledge, from my understanding of the situation, but it's tough to justify bringing in a college coach at the time in an organization kind of like Indianapolis is getting laughed at because McDaniels left him at the altar that only had 1 win in college at Baylor in that first year. The next year, he would have got the Jets job. The Jets just would have let him pick a staff. And then he goes to Carolina. Giants were definitely interested. Dave Tepper made him an offer that he couldn't refuse. And it was a 7-year deal, what, $60-something million or whatever it is? So there was a thought, and I even felt this way when I was at Temple, when no one really knew who Matt Rule was. But when he left Temple, I thought to myself, this is a guy that could be an NFL head coach because I knew he had NFL aspirations. If he goes and dominates or has a lot of success turning around a program in the Power 5, and that's what he did at Baylor. And sometimes when you make that jump, right, college coach going to the NFL, it doesn't work out. And in this case, it just didn't work out. Now, do I think Matt Rule could go back to college and be a very successful coach? Absolutely. And he's going to be a highly coveted coach, and if he wants to go back to college next year or take a year off and then maybe coach 2 seasons from now in college, who knows? That's up to him. I have no clue what's going to happen. But you even heard last year how much speculation there was about colleges being interested in Matt Rule. So Matt's going to land on his feet, and Matt's going to be a college coach once again, and he'll probably go to a program that's in a bad spot that needs to be turned around because that's what he does. Now, in Carolina, why didn't it work out? I think the best way to look at it is 2 things. Number one, they never had a quarterback. Now, I'm cognizant a lot of that could be blamed on him, the selection process. I'm not privy to the draft conversations, all that. But in 2020, when they bring in Teddy Bridgewater, and it was the right move to move on from Cam. I know that did not set him up well with the fan base that was so loyal and loved Cam. Cam's been shot for a while now, okay? And Cam doesn't have a job right now in the NFL. So I had no problem moving on from Cam, but it does ruffle some feathers in that fan base. The guy you brought in, Teddy Bridgewater, was a bridge quarterback, right? No one ever viewed Teddy Bridgewater as being the guy, but they gave him, I think it was like a 3 or 4 year deal. I think it was a 3 year deal. And I remember doing radio interviews on one of our affiliates, WFNZ, at the time. I said, when they brought in Teddy Bridgewater, yeah, that's not going to be a long-term answer. And then they made a move, giving up second-round picks to go get Sam Darnold, which at the time, people thought the Jets messed up Sam Darnold. You may not be wrong on that. But eventually, some of the blame has to be pointed at Sam. And then this past offseason, you're in a dire state. You're 2 years in. Team hasn't won a lot of games. Fan base has already turned on you. Who are you going to go get? Jimmy G gets hurt. Not ready to throw until August. Tried for Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson wanted to go to Cleveland. So you were left with the decision. You can't roll it back with Sam Darnold. You had to go trade for Baker Mayfield. And I was okay with the move to go trade for Baker Mayfield. Because what else were you going to do? And it's not like you gave up that much to go get Baker Mayfield. But Baker's starting to show you, and now that he's out with the high ankle sprain, but Baker's starting to show you that he looks more like the 2021 Baker than the 2020 Baker. So you look at why Matt Rhule didn't work out in the NFL. It's a multitude of reasons. Number one, in this league, you either have the quarterback or you don't. They never found the quarterback. Some of that's on the coach. Some of that's on the players. Christian McCaffrey, what, the first 2 years he's there? Only played a combined 10 games. That's tough when he's your best player. So I look at this, and I see what happened in Carolina. Never had a quarterback. McCaffrey wasn't healthy. And you were not able to win close games. They had a putrid record in close games. When you don't win close games and you consistently lose close games, you don't have a quarterback, and your best player is always hurt, you're not going to last that very much long in the NFL. And that's just the reality of the situation. So I can't say that I was surprised by the news today. And for Matt, you know, no one wants to get fired, obviously, but I would imagine that if you are going to get a college job this offseason, if he wants one, and his next move is going to be college, do you want one this offseason, or do you want to maybe take a year off and reflect? Sometimes that does behoove coaches. But if you want to go get that job, it's not the worst thing in the world to get Can now, even though no one wants to get Can, because then you could really go approach this job search where there's already a ton of jobs open, right? I think Wisconsin's going to go to Leonard, but maybe it doesn't. Nebraska's open, Arizona State's open, Georgia Tech is open, and you would have to think probably Auburn's going to open up as well. You never know what other jobs open up. Like, who would have thought last year, and there was a lot of movement last year in college, that we were going to see LSU open, Notre Dame open, right? Yeah, Oklahoma open. A lot of those jobs are not supposed to be open. So maybe a coach leaves, and who knows with this ever-changing landscape in college football. So now you anticipate Matt's going to go back to college, and that's that. But in terms of why he didn't work in the NFL, I think it's clear. Once again, no quarterback, best player hurt, more off the field than on the field, and you lost too many close games. Ryan, your thoughts on Matt Rhule getting fired after 2+ years with the Carolina Panthers?
And you said it, just a whole combination right now of things not going well. You have an impatient owner as well, which does not help you when you undertake a rebuild and you kind of start by taking the team apart, and you have an impatient owner that even after year two, and there's questions about Rule's even come back this year for a third year. So it's like,
which were fair in this league when you don't win games and you're 5-11 in year one and then 5-12 after starting the year 3-0 in 2021. I get the questions. I'm real about the situation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it was an unfair shake per se. When you start the year off the way you did this year, just getting even worse with seemingly an upgrade at quarterback, it's tough to justify. The fans are upset. If you're David Tepper, the season's already lost anyway. You don't want to, you know, have the fans who are already upset and angry. You don't really want them to have apathy. That's when you're really, you know, really in big trouble there.
And that
so.
Stadium was all pretty much all 49ers fans.
Yeah.
I had one Panthers fan tweet me actually over the weekend, and it was not nice. He said, I'm the reason why Baker Mayfield's here, and he's the reason why he had to watch us, and he put a big thumbs down and said, this is on you, Zach. You caused my suffering, so I apologize to that fan.
He blamed you for Baker Mayfield being in Carolina?
Yeah.
Who do you want to be the quarterback then?
So if they could redo this at quarterback, like I'm just trying to think, and maybe this is revisionist history. In 2021, they had a chance to draft either Mac Jones or Justin Fields. I don't know if that drastically changes the narrative. Mac Jones is now hurt. Justin Fields has not played well so far in the NFL. But you go back to 2020, and I think a lot of teams are going to do this. Justin Herbert fell to number 6. And I know that the Panthers that year were at 7. And Herbert was not thought to be the quarterback that now, the way that we obviously look at him, at one time he thought to be the number 1 overall pick, and his stock did kind of fall, but still did go 6 overall. New regime, coach coming in, you just wonder how life would have been, and I know that it's like an impossible game to play. If you would have traded up, and you have to go more than one spot, but the Lions, like let's say the Lions, right? They were a team that were rumored that they picked Okuda 3rd overall to be looking to get a team to trade back, you know, to trade up and the Lions would fall back. Man, imagine they trade up to 3 and they did take Justin Herbert. But as easy as I say that, who knows who their preference would have been. And remember, there was a quarterback that did go before Justin Herbert. The Dolphins did take Tua Tagovailoa. So now we'll see who's going to be the next coach to go. Questions with the Panthers. Do you trade Christian McCaffrey? Do you trade DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson? We'll unpack that throughout the remainder of the show. But you look at a few other jobs. Broncos, I think Hackett's got to be in the hot seat. Frank Reich, I think it's inevitable that he's going to get canned at the end of the year. If Brandon Staley continues to make stupid decisions like he did yesterday, even though he won, and if the Chargers miss the playoffs, maybe the Chargers job opens up. I thought for a while we perceived the Commanders to not fire Ron Rivera because it's kind of the safety blanket and the distraction from looking at all the problems with Daniel Snyder, who's a disgrace to the NFL, but Rivera's starting to lose me. And a team like the Cowboys, we all thought that was inevitable that it was going to open up. The way the Cowboys look into the first 5 weeks, I'm not ready to put Mike McCarthy on the hot seat. So I heard Sean Payton was talking earlier today about the Carolina job, but how attractive is that job? That's another big question as well.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.